Good morning. How is everyone? Cool. Why don't we... Never said cool from the pulpit before. I'm guessing that's not an appropriate greeting. My apologies. Why don't we pray and then we'll read our Bibles together. God, thank you for being good to us. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for speaking to us when we read this book and we hear your words. So God, today as we listen to what Jesus has said to us, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds, that we would think his thoughts and feel what you would have us feel, that you would draw us to yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as we're going through Matthew, we're listening to Jesus' teaching, and we've gotten to a place, and we've kind of stayed there for a while, where Jesus is talking about money, and he just kind of is dwelling on what do we do with our money, what do we do about money. And as we've seen, he's taken the tact on money that we should, he talks about it from several different angles, but as he does it from each angle, he's basically saying you should worship God and not money. He's teaching us how we use our money in a way that glorifies God. And instead of worshiping money, we should worship God. And so as he talks about different ways that we can worship money, that we do worship money, and how to stop worshiping money, what he's really talking about, which is what you're talking about anytime you talk about worship, is idolatry. He's talking about worshiping something that is not God. So let's start today with a verse that is not in Matthew, and then we'll go back to Matthew. Go to 1 John chapter 5. We've been starting out by going to the Old Testament. I thought we would switch it up a little bit. 1 John chapter 5, verse 21. John finishes his letter by saying this, "Little children, keep yourselves from idols." And an idol is anything that takes God's place in our heart. God, the great King of the universe, the sovereign creator, the all-powerful, who deserves and demands to be at the center of our hearts, to receive all of our worship and our love and our loyalty. And then an idol is something that we take and we put in God's place, in the center of our hearts. It's something that we use to replace God with. It's something that we give our love and our obedience and our loyalty to. It could be something good or something bad. It really doesn't matter. It's the idea that it's taking God's place at the center of our affections, and we make an idol out of money. Money is one. Money and the things money buys, our money and our possessions, become one of the biggest idols, one of the biggest threats to becoming an idol in our hearts. We worship the things that we can buy with our money. We worship our money itself. We worship how we make our money. That becomes one of the biggest idols for us. And in this series, you can flip over to Matthew chapter 6, the second half of that chapter, Jesus is teaching us that money is a bad God. It doesn't deserve our love. It doesn't deserve our devotion. It doesn't deserve our worship. Our problem is that we, and even after talking about this for several weeks, I'm guessing that your reaction is like mine. Every week I go back to, well, I'm not sure that I really worship money. I'm not sure that money is really something that I bow down before. I'm not sure that things are really my idol. I'm old enough now. I know that stuff isn't, you know, I don't worship stuff. We don't see it as our God. And in this section, Jesus helps us by showing us several different ways that we do, in fact, worship money. The ways that we do, in fact, worship our stuff. He started, we looked in verse 19 and 20, 21, and Jesus says that we put our hearts wherever we have, we put our stuff, whatever we store up, whatever we treasure, that's where our heart goes. That's a form of worship. Our heart goes after the stuff that we accumulate. Last week we saw that whatever we desire, whatever we focus on, whatever we focus our mind and our thoughts and our hearts on, that forms who we become. When I worship with my mind, when I worship with my desires, when I worship with the focus of my life, that ends up forming who I am. And today we're going to look at the third way that we worship money and worship things. Look at verse 24. Jesus is going to say, you serve your God. Whatever your God is, you will serve that God. So read verse 24 with me. No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one, love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Very simple, very straightforward. Can't serve two masters. You'll either hate one, love the other, devoted to one, despise the other. Kind of a general teaching, and then he brings it to very specific application. You cannot serve God and money. Let's pick that apart. There's three big words or three big concepts in there. The first one is master. No one can serve two masters. And then he talks about how what that looks like when you try to serve two masters. And then he ends it by saying, no, God could be a master, or your money could be a master. So think about the concept of master for a minute. That's your boss. That's who tells you what to do. It's something or someone who gets to command you, who directs your life, who tells us what to give ourselves to. It's whatever we work for. We will serve our God inevitably because we love our God. Whatever our love in our heart sends us after, well, that creates devotion, and devotion creates service. We will have a master. And then see, we hear that and we say, can't serve God or money, can't serve two masters. That's not a problem for me. I don't serve any master. I'm my own person. I don't have a boss. No one tells me what to do. I do have a boss at the office, but I really do what I want to do anyway. I do what I want. I make my own decisions. I'm my own boss. This is the way we've thought ever since Adam and Eve, when they said, I'm going to make my own decisions. I'm going to be the boss of me. If I can take from this fruit and disobey the one thing that my true boss has told me to do, and by doing so, show him who's the boss of my life and become like him and be able to make my own decisions and direct the course of my life, then I'm going to do that. And since then, we've set ourselves up as the boss of our own lives. I'm the one. I'm my own master. I'm the master of my destiny. I'm the captain of my ship. I decide what I do. I mean, I give lip service to the fact that my boss tells me what to do, but only because he pays me. I do what I want to do. And so we then rebel. We reject God's sovereignty over us, God getting to tell us what to do, and we rebel against him. We make our own decisions. We even do that when we read the Bible. We read the Bible and we read, and then we come along and we say, okay, I agree with that. We judge what we're reading. I agree with that. I'll do that. I'm not sure I agree with that. Need to think about that. That's code for, I'm not going to do that. That's not in my plan. That we rebel against God, and we rebel against all other authorities. Have you ever left a job because you just couldn't take your boss anymore, telling you what to do? I'm going to find someplace else with an easier boss to work for. We rebel against authority. We think that we're our own boss, but Jesus takes for granted in this text that we will have a master, that we will serve something. He doesn't leave open the option of you may not have a master. In fact, our problem, Jesus says, is that normally there are multiple masters that we try to serve. Not that we don't have a master who we serve. He takes it for granted that we will have someone or something. Something will tell us what to do and will be our master. Well, you could say, okay, what is my master? Who could be my master? It depends. It could be anything. In this example, Jesus says it could be God, or it could be money. It could be possessions. It could be your career. It could be another person. Have you ever seen someone whose master was another person? And not in the sense of slavery, either in times past or modern day slavery, but someone who was just under the thumb of another person, and they kind of did whatever that other person said, and their happiness was dependent on that other person. And if you're sitting next to that person today, don't say anything. But you know what I'm talking about, right? Sometimes a person is our master. We let someone be our master, whether it's our children or our spouse or romantic relationship, our extended family. Sometimes it's a habit, a good habit or a bad habit. We call that a vice, whatever it would be. Maybe it's sports that you play yourself, or sports you watch other people play. Maybe that's your master. Maybe it's a hobby or something you like to do, or education or your body, whether that's stuff you do with your body and put on your body to look a certain way, or how you try to shape your body. Maybe it's food. But take your pick. Anything in life could be our master, could be what our God is. And we can think of other people and their masters, and so that kind of makes it easy to understand. Yeah, people serve a variety of different things. So what is yours? Who is your master? What is the thing that you serve? Start asking yourself that question as we go through this text today. Think, who is your master? Where do you spend your time? Where do you spend your energy? Who gets to tell you what to do? That starts telling you who your God is, who your master is, who you're serving with your life. And that brings us to the next word. No one can serve two masters. I know serve came before master. I'm doing the words out of order. No one can serve two masters. So Jesus says serve. He says you will serve your master. And he takes that for granted. He doesn't explain it. He just puts it out there. You're going to have a master and you will serve that master. How do we serve our master? Okay. There's three different big ways that we serve our master, and I thought the easiest way to demonstrate this was to give an example from my life. Now, it'd be too painful for me to give you an example of an actual master that I have in my life that I serve, because that's just too much confession. But let me give you an example of an old one. It's still going to be really embarrassing for me, but that may be good for you. Who knows? It may help you. Try not to focus as much on my particular example as this helps each one of us see who our master today is. That's the point of it. How are we serving our masters? What does it look like when we serve one of our masters? For me, several years ago, I was into bodybuilding. I wanted to be, this is the embarrassing part, I wanted to look like The Rock. If you've ever watched TV, you know who The Rock is. And that's so embarrassing. I mean, you know, you look at me, you're like, you're crazy. And I was even skinnier then. It wasn't going to happen. You look at if you know my family, you know how ridiculous that is. You know the genetic pool that I come from. But for whatever reason, I decided I wanted to look like The Rock. And so becoming enormous and becoming muscular became little by little the master of my life. Sounds ridiculous, I know, but just go with me on this. It was my reality for a while. So as we look through this, think to yourself, who do I serve? What does it look like to serve? The first way that we serve our master is with obedience. We obey our master. Well, that makes sense, because if someone's your master, you will obey it. In my example, when my master was bodybuilding, I made my decisions in my life around bodybuilding. I didn't fast, even though I knew I should fast, and I would talk about fasting. I didn't fast for several years because that would mean missing food. And I knew that, you know, my body would start eating into my muscle mass that I'd worked so hard to get. I'm not going to do that. I obeyed my master. I wouldn't make any commitments that would cut into my gym time. I made decisions around that. I wouldn't do anything that would get around my eating time. I wouldn't do anything that would disrupt my eating and my working out, because that was my master. We obey our master. It tells us what to do. It's the biggest factor in making decisions. When you're making decisions with your time and your money, whatever you think about, whatever that factor is, whatever you think, oh, what will this person say, or what will happen to this project I'm working on, or this thing, that's a sign that's our master. It's whatever is the basis of our decision making, because we obey our master. It tells us what to do, and it determines how we live, how much we work, what we do with what we make with our money. All of our decisions are based on our master. So what do you obey in your life right now? Who's your master that you obey? The second way we serve our master is by giving our master our strength, our work. When I was into bodybuilding, it was really easy to see who my master was, because I gave my best energy to two things, eating and working out. I spent 2 hours a day in the gym. If my wife wanted quality time together with me, she would have to go and watch me lift weights. And between sets, we would talk. It was a horrible existence. But that was my life. 6 days a week, 2 hours a day, I was in the gym. That my life revolved around that. And when I wasn't in the gym, I was feeding. I didn't eat. I had feedings. And every 3 hours, at least, I would have a feeding. I carried food with me. I gave myself to that. I would buy egg beaters, you know, the clear ones that you're supposed to cook, but they're raw egg whites, and I would drink them at work for a little pick-me-up. I was always carrying packages of yogurt and protein shakes with me. I served my master. I served my master well. I would get up in the middle of the night to eat. We serve our master. We do things for our master. Our life revolves around whatever our master is. It's whatever we give our physical energy and our time and our money and our things too. It's whatever we sacrifice our friendships and our family for. What do you work for? What do you give your strength to? The third way we serve our master is with devotion. We're devoted to our master. If you've ever seen one of those, you know, I don't remember, is it Dracula or one of those movies where they have the little minion guy who eats bugs and goes around, "Yes, master, yes, master." I don't remember even what the character is. But it's that. We're devoted to our master. Whatever our master says, it's yes, we'll do it. It's no matter what the sacrifice is. When I was into bodybuilding, again, last time I'll mention it, those 2 hours in the gym were sacred. Didn't matter what was going on with my family. Didn't matter what was going on with anything else. I would leave family events. I would drive home from Waverly where my parents lived and leave family events even before they ate because I had to go to the gym and that was the only time that I could get to the gym and I had to get my gym time in. My life revolved around that. I never missed a feeding, and if I did, I felt incredibly guilty. That was sacred for me. We give our lives to whatever our master is. That time, whatever it demands of us, is sacred. Whatever it needs, whatever it demands, we give it, whether it's time or energy or strength, we will give ourselves to it at all costs. It's the goal of our life. So what are you devoted to? What do you obey? What do you give your strength to? What do you work for? What are you devoted to? That's what your master is. That's what our master is. And then the last phrase that we're going to look at from this verse is this: loving or despising. You will love one and despise the other. You'll be devoted to one, you'll despise the other. It's loving or being devoted. Because here's the thing, as we think about our lives and realize I do have other masters other than God that are my functional masters. They're the ones that's that thing that I really end up serving. That's the thing that my life revolves around. I say it's God, but it's not. As we see that, then we have an inner dialogue that goes on and we say, well, can't I serve both of them? I don't want to choose. I'm not going to say no to God and reject God and tell him he's not my master. I would never say that out loud. I wouldn't do that, but I'm not going to, there's no way in the world that I'm going to stop serving this other thing. Think about whatever your master is, whatever you serve in your life. Isn't it true that walking away from that and saying, I'm not going to be devoted to that anymore, that's impossible. So we say, well, can't I serve both of them? Can't I? I'm not going to choose between them. I want to serve my idol and I want to serve God. And Jesus tells us it has to be one or the other. You can't serve both of them. You will serve God or you will serve your idol. You can't serve both. Why is it impossible? He says you cannot. You cannot serve both. Why? Why can't we? Well, because a master, a lord, a boss demands complete devotion. That by definition. So if I have two in my life that are demanding my complete devotion, what's going to happen? They're going to be fighting for my commitment, for my devotion, for my time, for who's really most important. And they're going to frequently clash. There's frequently going to be a clash in my life of this needs me and this needs me. Which one is the most important? Which one am I really going to serve? And whatever our true master is will win out in that moment. And that takes us to love and hatred, loving one and despising the other. Why? Because we serve whatever our master is out of love. Whatever I love, I serve with joy. I loved bodybuilding. I love standing in front of the mirror and sucking my stomach in and going, wow, that's incredible. So close to looking like The Rock. I was so deceived. It was horrible. But I loved that. Whatever you love, you serve joyfully. See, that's the way our masters work. We serve them because we love them. And when I try to serve two masters, I love one, really love one. And the other one, it's like, I know I'm supposed to serve that one. So what happens? They both put demands on me. And this one I respond to out of joy because I love it. This one puts demands on me. It's like, oh yeah, I got to go to church again. I know I should read my Bible. And the more demands that God puts on me when he's not really truly my master, the more that I go from being indifferent to feeling indebted to feeling just, despising that master. Because I hate people that put demands on me. Except for, those that I love, that I would do anything for. And the more that I try to serve two masters, the more I love the one, the more I despise the other. Jesus says you can't do it. That's the root of our rebellion against God. We say that we serve God. We sing songs like Jesus is Lord, and then we say he's our master, he's our Lord. But we truly serve and love this other master in our life, whatever it is for you in this moment. And the more that God tries to be our true Lord and master, the more that we resent him and the more that we avoid him and the more that we give him just perfunctory service. I use the word perfunctory. That makes up for saying cool at the beginning, right? Okay. There's a reason why we have to choose which master we're going to serve. It's because every master that we could serve in this world is a bad master. Money is a bad master. Any idol is a bad master. Bodybuilding, now it seems it's so obvious now, but it was a horrible master. Why? Because our masters consume us. They control us. We become slaves to them. And they make us waste our lives because any master that we serve in this world that we completely give ourselves to, when I completely give myself to something in this life, it's temporary. The longest it will last, even if I would have become like The Rock, that would have only lasted for a few years, and then, things would have, it just would have gone badly. It wouldn't have looked right. It wouldn't have lasted. Even if you can hold on to whatever your master is until the very end of your life, as of that moment, it no longer it matters. It's temporary. You leave it behind. At some point, we leave everything that we work for in this life behind. So making it our master and serving it and worshiping it by serving it, is a horrible thing to do. That makes us give our lives totally to something that we end up leaving behind. That's a wasted life. And in comparison, God is the best master. Why? Because he made us and he knows us better than anybody could know us, and he loves us in spite of the fact that we've rejected him, and he wants the best for us eternally. He knows what's best for us better than anyone else. So if we have to choose between who we're going to serve, and we can only serve one master, and money or any other idol is such a bad master, such a bad God to serve, what should we do? It's what Jesus says. We should serve God and not money. We should serve God and not any other idol. Let's read Deuteronomy 6:5 again. You shall love the Lord with all your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. That word might, that's talking about service. We should serve God with everything we are. We should put God in the center. We should decide, I'm going to serve God, not going to serve money, going to serve God, not going to serve bodybuilding, going to serve God, not going to serve, as much as I love my family, they're not going to be my master. I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to serve my education or my intellect. I'm going to serve God. I'm not going to serve whatever it is that my master is. I am going to choose to serve God. And isn't that what is at the heart of being a Christian? It's being a person who says, I'm choosing to serve a new master. whatever it is that would want to be my master from this point forward, I'm going to say no to. It's not going to be my master. I'm not going to serve it. I am going to serve the God of the universe. So how do we serve the God of the universe? Let's bring it very, very practical. Remember the three ways that we serve something? That's how we serve God. We serve God by obeying Him. When God is my master, I do whatever He tells me. Whatever God says to do, I'll say yes to. I will obey Him. That's why when we say if you're going to have a relationship with God, you have to start that by making a decision to repent and be baptized, to give yourself to Jesus, to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. That's obeying Him. That's how we obey God, is by making that initial decision. And then after that, we are to obey everything He tells us to do. So question, first of three, what has God asked you to do that you still haven't done? Part of making God our master in this moment is saying yes to whatever He asks us to along the way. What has He asked you to do that you haven't done? The second way that we serve our master, that we serve God if He will be our master, is we work with Him. We give Him our strength. We give Him our time. We give Him our best effort in life. We work for His kingdom. Again, that's why we take the initial first step of entering into His kingdom by repenting and being baptized, by making Jesus Lord, because we're saying, I'm going to give myself to You, and after that, I'm going to dedicate myself to working in Your kingdom. I'm going to dedicate myself to studying with other people. I'm going to dedicate myself to being friends with outsiders. I'm going to dedicate myself to talking to them about you. I'm going to dedicate myself to serving in a ministry in my local church body. I'm going to dedicate myself to discipling other people. I'm going to dedicate myself to opening up my home. I'm going to be someone who's dedicated to working in the kingdom, and I'm going to dedicate myself to working on my relationship with God. I'm going to dedicate myself to reading this book. I'm going to dedicate myself to praying, to having extended times of prayer. I'm going to dedicate myself to fasting, to being involved in community with other Christians more than just on Sunday morning. I'm going to dedicate myself to meeting together on Sundays. How can you serve more in the kingdom? That's the second question. How can you serve more in the kingdom? And the third way that we serve our master, and that we serve God if He is our master, is with devotion. We are devoted to our master. So if God is our master, if God will be our master, we are to be devoted to Him. That's, again, the essence of the initial decision to become a Christian, to give ourselves to Jesus. We're saying, I'm going to be devoted to You. And then after that, we don't do this, but what we're supposed to do is we're supposed to be people who put God's stuff first. Whatever God wants us to do, that goes before everything else. Have you ever played that game where you know God wants you to do something? You say, okay, I'm going to do that, but this and this and this first. See, when I serve God as my master, whatever He says comes first. Everything else comes after that. I do what He wants instead of what I want. I put everything else on hold for what He wants me to do. I serve Him with devotion. So the third question, what do you need to change that has the first place in your life so that God can come first? What edges God out for first place when He asks you something and you say, wait because of this, wait because of this? What do you need to flip in your priorities so that God has more devotion than anything else in your life? What do you need to do to serve God more? And what will you do? Why don't we stand? We'll pray together and then we'll sing. God, we come to You and we thank You because You are a good God, the only God. You are the only one who is worthy of our affection. You are the only one who is worthy, God, of our worship. And God, as we think about worshiping You by serving You, by making You our master, by obeying You and working with You and being devoted to You, putting You first, seems like so much. Seems like that You want to take over our lives. And in this moment, God, we want to accept that. Please, God, make us people who don't just have a little bit of You thrown into their lives, but people whose lives are consumed by serving You. That You would be our master and that we would obey You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.